With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 518, the not necessarily the box office report for the week.
We're just going to keep adding words to it.
I am, yeah. Until my brain explodes. For the week ending October 20th, 2019. Full disclosure, that's an Emo Phillips joke and I stole it.
Which one?
Until my brain explodes.
Oh, okay.
There's a thing where he goes to court and the judge is like, Emo? And he's like, yes. Emo Phillips? Yes. Your Emo Phillips? Well, are you just going to keep adding a word each time until your brain explodes? Ah, love Emo Phillips.
Can you get that copy of Meet the Parents for us?
Oh, if only I could.
It'd be interesting to see what that movie
Someone
is like.
Someone has to have
he's
it.
Got it.
He's got it.
I thought he's just seen it. He has it?
No, he has in it.
Yeah, he's well, got yeah, it. But yeah, I, so thought, he, I didn't know
he has a
it.
Copy. Yeah. Like, oh. Yeah.
Man, he's been good about keeping that on lockdown.
Well, he probably doesn't want to get the living crap suit
That's
out
all
of
probably that. True, yeah.
Because they, like, bought that thing lock, stock, yeah. and barrel. For people that don't know what we're talking about, Meet the Parents is technically a remake.
Of
a movie you've never seen. Like, yeah. this indie comic made a movie called Meet the Parents with the same plot. Emo Phillips had a small role in it. And it was, supposedly, like, the funniest movie ever made. Like, people just couldn't get enough of this movie, and it was so funny that the Hollywood studios pulled up with all their money and yep. were like, we would like to buy that from you, and you can never release the original version in any way, shape, or form. And that people who have seen it are like, and they're not even like bagging on the Meet the Parents with
Ben Stiller. That's a funny movie.
Yeah, and they're like, that's a really funny movie, and they're like, but this original version like kicks the living crap out of it.
Interesting.
Wow.
And so it's so, who knows, sometimes too that stuff, it can get inflated in your mind.
Sure, like sure,
when you're
sure.
not allowed to see it, and then you're just like, oh, that's gotta be so good.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast, they were talking about Black Christmas. The good yeah. one. There's another one coming out, yeah. isn't there?
Isn't that Blumhouse though?
Yeah, it might
so,
be.
I mean, if it's Blumhouse, it we got to give it a shot.
But they said that like it was so successful that they wanted to do a sequel, and Bob Clark was like, "No, I'm going to go do
a Christmas story,
Black
yeah.
New Year."
Yeah, yeah.
No,
black.
No well, he went and did a Christmas story.
This was like, his. So Carpenter was like, "Oh man, I love that movie. Like, what would the sequel have been?" And Bob Clark was like, "I don't know." Finally, he was like, "Look, the killer would have been caught and put in a sanitarium. He would have gotten out and gone back to the house where he did his original deed, and I would have said it on Halloween." And everybody's like, is that story real? Because if so, Carpenter just ripped off Bob Clark. So I was like, man, I hope that's not real. I hope somebody just made that story up because I hope that's not the case.
There's a good chance they did.
Yeah, but hopefully. Womp, womp.
So shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're still
you
can on Spreaker? Find us.
We are still on Spreaker.
Okay, cool.
For now. Negotiating deal if I don't like their terms. We're
this deal's getting worse all
we're
the time.
Walking away. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, leave a review. That's always helpful. And of course, you can join the League of Show Sharers, which is really kind of two things. One, there's our group called League of Show Sharers, which is a lot easier to kind of have conversations with us or with other listeners. That's always fun. Always with an asterisk saying 95% of the time it's fun. And you can also actually become a real-life League of Show Sharer by sharing an episode.
That's the goal.
That's the goal. So people who were kind enough to share the show this week, Librarian Cynthia, Lane LeVanway, Brent Smith, Griffin Foxsmith, Ken Mill, Susan Carlson, Chris Sanders, Tom Comiskey, Chris Williams, Timmy Tuzoons, Travis Tewitt, Chris Magic Man, Tammy Sherman Powers, Ralph Tribble, Aaron Marlowe, Julianne Jordan, Gabriel Lugo, and Ron Johnson. And, of course, Brad Hyen has been excluded.
Off the list, Brad.
Because of the Brad Hyen
rule. Sneak in,
I mean, he shared, so that's nice. Yeah. He should, he's not officially on the list.
That's correct.
He's excluded by the rule. He's like the Lou Gehrig of League of Show Sharers.
He has a crippling disease?
No, it's named after him. This particular thing is named after him. Yes. As far as I know, he's perfectly healthy.
But, you know,
good luck and Godspeed.
Please edit that out.
Yeah.
Just in case.
I'd like to think when he shared, though, he was trying to pull one over on you.
I'm sure he was. He's a sneaky little bastard.
Yeah.
So, also, don't forget, we have a Patreon account, patreon.com/realspoilers. The two ways you can support the show, you can share an episode, or you can become a Patreon subscriber, $5 a month, and you get bonus content and helps us out with just some of the day-to-day costs of operating.
Kevin sent me a link for what the next Patreon episode, and it is
We've got one coming up. Let's not even say what it is.
I'm not going to say what it is.
Patreon listeners, thank you. You get ready. We're going to do a fun one.
Yeah, it looks like something.
They're scripting a musical adaptation.
Oh, Joe was leading the charge on that.
Of Rock Dog.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
I thought Joe
will play the lead. It will be called Cop Rock Dog.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's the sequel.
Yes.
Yeah, it's only
Cop Rock Dog.
I'm in.
Trademark real spoilers.
Yes, do it now.
I sent Tom a link because AMC has a streaming service now because of course they do.
Why?
The movie theater chain?
They got a
streaming service.
What are they going to stream?
Everything.
Everything Crackle has passed over.
Video on demand, not a network. They want you to buy and rent movies now from AMC after you go
to
the theater.
Well, and my guess is twofold. Is one, they'll probably create bundles where it's like, buy the ticket now and get it on our streaming service for a nickel.
Because that should be a thing. It's like if they get you to where like you've bought the movie, you've seen it,
right,
they're gonna get more people to the theater. I think it's like you buy the movie and you own it,
and they already have all the data of people who already went to see the movie.
If you use your stubs,
they still know.
Yeah, but I mean, like, do you think that would count though? Since you're not actually
give you a discount,
they probably give you a discount or something. If you know, but also my guess is long term, this is their way to like get into your homes as theaters, become less relevant. Because I think they know too that at some point these studios are going to be like, we'll just stream it to.
Well, why would Universal want to pay a theater? When they can just throw it on whatever service they've got.
I mean, I think. Here's the thing. I've been pushing for this type of thing, and there's other people that have tried to create services like this, and of course the movie industry is against it because they want that theater money, and then they want you to buy it on home video or whatnot. But as they keep bridging the gap, I think they're going to end up killing their business because it's already like, well, the movie comes out in 2 to 3 months, and instead of bringing the family of five and the popcorn and all this, wait it's 2 to 3 months. But now it's like, well, if they're like 30 days after theaters, you're going to release this. Those people are definitely, and more people are going to be like, well, why would I not just wait a month and own it?
Be interesting if you could say, like, if you could figure out what the average price of, I don't know, two adult tickets are to go to Avengers. And you could be like, well, you can go home and watch it on your TV for $25 and you can rent it. You have it for 24 hours. You can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah.
And then I think that would equal the cost of.
The problem with that, though, is that psychologically, when that movie's in the theater, you're like, it's a big movie in the theater.
Yeah.
But if they had said, but Avengers is going straight to VOD, there's still this psychological speed bump of, but what's wrong with it? You know what I mean?
Oh, that's fair.
I think that speed bump is getting smaller.
People keep hitting it.
Well, as Netflix puts out movies that are like, you know, they're like, okay,
there's The Irishman.
Yeah, like that's pretty good quality. Yeah. Like, you know, but I still like, I also don't understand the business model of, like, how a studio, like, I mean, if you put out Avengers straight to your streaming service, mm-hmm. or, you know, Black Panther straight to your streaming service, that's $1 billion in revenue that you're walking away from.
Or that you're taking a chance on.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, but, if you're saying, yeah. if we're saying that, like, those people who would have gone to the theater anyway are going to pick it up on VOD for $25. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
day of, $25, you can sit in your house and you can watch it. It's the same price. It's actually cheaper because you don't have to buy popcorn, all that crap, right?
Yeah.
You know, so if you're
going to...
Doesn't go to the movie. It goes to the
movie
theater.
Studio. Goes
right.
to the theater.
That's so if you're, they, yeah. if you're saying that, like, oh, we'll say one ticket is $8.
Well, it varies wildly.
Well, we're very low.
We'll say $30 yeah. to rent it day and, you know, Friday night.
I'd say $16 a ticket, especially with these premium theaters.
Yeah, that's probably
because New York, yeah. I think they're higher than that, and LA yeah. they are. So,
but that's another problem.
What
is that? Whatever you price it at for your pay per view price, it might be a bargain in New York and LA,
but it's not.
But
a
not
here.
So much in Des Moines and
That's
St.
True.
Louis, and you know.
Yeah. But no matter what, you can share it. That's the thing. If I'm buying, I would pay $50 for a new movie to not have to buy the expensive stuff, deal with the annoyances of the theater, and then I'd have four other people come over and chip in. You know, like I would.
Yeah,
I would pay. They could make a lot more than my $6 ticket. I go yeah. a lot of times during the day. It's $6. I'll pay them $50 and get four people to chip in. They'd make way more than us here going in the daytime to see it.
And you yeah. got your own. I mean, you've got your own setup.
Yeah.
You know, you've got your TV, your sound yeah. system. You've got.
I've got my 180-inch projector in the basement. I mean, I'm not trying to brag, but it's like I'm not watching on a 27-inch Sanyo.
Humble brag.
You know what I mean, though? Like,
no, I
in
get
the basement,
it. I totally
I have
get
surround
it.
Sound and a 180-inch projector. That's.
Do you have a wall big enough for that?
Yeah, I have a whole wall that I turn to a screen oh, downstairs, right, right. and then, you know, nice, comfortable couch. And so the thing is, it's like I'm not missing out on the big screen experience because people can have really big screens at their house
yeah.
and I think avoid a lot of the inconveniences.
I think in 20 years, maybe, I think the theater experience will become like a cinephile
niche,
thing.
Yeah.
It's like that's a very niche
It'll
thing.
Be like only hipsters. It'll be like vinyl.
Kind of, yeah. Which, what a weird thing that outsold CDs.
Only because people have stopped buying CDs.
Also, yeah,
that's what
no,
like,
yeah.
that's not
that's the headline. That's the headline they don't tell you.
Right. Like right. people are like, oh my god, more than CDs, but like when's the last time you bought a CD?
I couldn't tell you. I will say I have bought more. So the Sacred Bones put out like a special edition of the new Halloween soundtrack on vinyl.
Okay.
And I was like, yep. Bought that. I bought the one from The Crow that they just FYE
yeah,
just
they
put
found
out.
A niche. Collectors will buy these special. I mean, that's how they're going to make money is
yeah.
putting
give
out
a,
these.
Give me that Die Hard soundtrack.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just like, with the, all the vinyl stuff, I'm like, I'm never going to.
I don't own a turntable.
Yeah. I don't buy any of it. I bought one.
What'd you buy?
A Mickey Dolenz. They put out this vanity label. Not vanity, but like boutique label.
Yeah.
Put out a thing called Mickey Dolenz, the MGM collection. And like, he put out. Never put out an album, but he put out a series of singles on MGM that were
just like those little discs.
Yeah, like yeah. Four, yeah, and that were, you know, they would have a song on each side, and that was it. And I feel old that I have to explain that, but
those little discs, is that what you just called?
Well, yeah,
45?
They had tiny records.
Well, they had tiny records. Yeah,
yeah. Tiny or like
no, they had like
well,
45
LPs.
LPs
were
like
were
this.
Like 12-inch.
Yeah.
yeah, you know,
and they had like smaller ones that had like one or right. two songs on.
They had like one song. Like
I so had the Ghostbusters theme.
A
on
single
one of those.
Would have a yeah. song on each side, and then they had EPs, which yeah. were in between.
Yeah,
and they were like about 8 inches.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I just thought it was funny, little tiny discs.
Yeah. But so he put out a series of singles, but never an album. So this guy like went to MGM and like, hey, can I, you know, will you give me the rights to put this on, you know? And they were just
like a specialty LP.
Yeah, and they were like, yeah. okay. So I bought it, but only because I knew the Monkees were coming where I worked. And
for
I,
sure,
I could get it signed. So
totally,
like, I've never listened to it. I just signed it and framed it.
The Halloween one's still in the wrapper.
Yeah,
it's not going anywhere.
So, are you guys ready for me to make my point that started this entire tangent?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
we're not
so
used
AMC
to,
has a stream.
In our defense, we're not used to you having a point.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, and I showed Tom that for the low price of $12.99, you could own Rock Dog.
Oh, great.
On AMC's.
Fantastic.
Hey, man,
that should be one collection.
If you want to get that on Vudu, it's $13.99.
Oh.
So,
that's quite
I log
the
in. I do a
what
separate
a bold
login.
Move.
I go right into AMC just to watch Rock Dog.
What a bold move to put that so high.
Because I was surely, like, I was looking around, there was a deal where you get free movies if you buy one. And I'm like, okay, Rock Dog has to be a $5 one that can be cheap to own and get the other three free ones.
No, we want full
but,
price.
But no, it's not.
That's what I
sent the link to Tom. I was sure he'd be interested.
When I did that interview with the Radio Silence guys,
I blocked you.
They said that I had to rent one of their, like, I wanted to watch their flicks before I talked to them. And I rented one of them was on Prime, and one of them I had to pay for. And it was like $4. And they were like, "You actually paid for it?" And I was like, "Yeah." I mean, and I'd expect all of three
of
you.
They had Duncan that morning. They're excited.
Yeah, right. They were. I was like, I expect all three of you to split that $4 that I spent equally between the three of you.
So I don't know. Do we have news?
I feel like we got some news.
Yeah, I always hate crowding up the timeline with the same type of news. Like, you know, Scorsese, we had a few different items.
Yeah, but now Francis Ford Coppola is getting involved.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't say. Please
today. He said the same thing. He said the movies are the Marvel superhero movies are disastrous. So he has joined the fray.
Oh Lord.
Old
man yells at cloud.
That's exactly what it was. I was like, well, who's, I guess Oliver Stone's next.
He's exactly, I mean, this is exactly what, like, what people become when their parents yell at them and don't like their music.
Yeah.
And you're like, you just don't understand. And like, I'm never going to be like that. And then you grow up and your kids are listening to
somebody
crap
said
and,
this coming from the guy that directed Godfather 3.
Yeah.
So, you know, like what?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not that bad. Like, it's not Godfather 1 and 2, which are two of the greatest movies ever made.
I think that is the problem.
And but it's like, but
you know my stance on Godfather 3. It's Rocky 5.
It's not as bad as
it's
Rocky
not as bad
five.
As Rocky
but
5.
But that's what it is. It's they're doing the same stuff where you're just like, I don't care about this. Yeah. Like, no, don't do that.
There are certain they have some good scenes.
And it also
and
I think
good performances,
if memory serves, it came out like 6 months after Goodfellas.
Yes.
And so, you know,
what are you going to do?
So you also know? End up getting, like, you know, the other greatest gangster movie ever made.
And then you're going to put out the
and then
the
you get a substandard sequel.
Like, wait, the bastard son of Sonny is going to try to hook up with his cousin? We're going to, nobody sees a problem with this storyline? We're just going to run with it? Okay.
Have you seen Scorsese's After Hours?
Nope.
What a great freaking movie. I watched it, sight unseen, knew nothing about it, but it was on one of these sales for $5. I'm like, okay, Scorsese movie.
Griffin Dunn?
Griffin Dunn.
Oh,
he's
really?
On This Is Us.
Griffin Dunn is also the best friend from American Werewolf in London.
Okay.
Yeah.
Griffin Dunn's in it, and he is amazing.
He's on This Is Us?
Someone told me he was, then he was really good on
it. You watch that show.
I do.
Really? Well, don't quote. Yeah, Tom will look it up. But it is a nonstop, exhilarating. Like this guy,
what's it about?
This guy is just like he's a data entry guy, you know. So he's just like back when.
Oh, I didn't realize that was Griffin Dunn.
Because people say he's good on that. Is
I hate that character. Oh,
is he good at being hateable?
I guess so. Like, whenever I see the character, he plays. If you watch This Is Us, he plays Jack's brother, who's like this kind of Vietnam, forgotten Vietnam vet kind of a thing, but it's like. Every time I see him, I'm like, oh, they couldn't get Marc Maron.
Oh, that's funny. That's weird.
Which they could have totally got Marc
Maron. Does he have a facial hair?
He does in this.
He does just, now.
Yeah.
Okay. But, okay, so real quick, I mean, everyone needs to watch After Hours. 1982, I want to say. I mean, it's
check my Plex.
You can fact check that, but I think it's like 1982. Let's call it early 80s. And it is about a guy he's just like, you know, kind of a dead-end job. He's training some new guy. You know, he's waiting to clock out. He leaves. He goes to
85.
85, okay. And he goes to like a coffee shop, and he's reading a book, and he sees a girl, and he starts talking to her, gets her phone number, and he can't wait to call her. He ends up calling her at like 11 o'clock at night. It's really late, whatever time it is. And he's like, hey, I just want to call you. And she's like, you want to come over? He's like, now? And she's like, yeah, sure, why not? Do you have to work tomorrow, early tomorrow? He's like, no. You know, he's just like, whatever, I don't care, I'm going to come over. And he gets over there, and it's just like anything wrong that can happen will happen. Like,
okay.
It's kind of a dark comedy. I would say put it in the dark comedy genre. And like, just crazy stuff happens, and it's all this like mistaken identity, and then something else terrible happens, and then just when you think he gets out of it, something else happens, and it never stops. Once it starts, it never lets up. It's hilarious. You feel bad for the guy. Griffin Dunn's amazing. I mean, it's just like him going through New York for an hour and a half nonstop. And there's several people of note in it. The mom from Beetlejuice, she's really young in the movie.
Gina Davis?
No, Catherine O'Hara.
Catherine O'Hara's in it, yeah. There's just like crazy people. I don't want to
Terry Garr pops up.
Yeah, and cool. There's a monkey song
there's
in
a monkey
it,
song
so
Terry,
in it, so.
Terry Garr in the 80s. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
So
we were talking about this off air.
Yes.
But it goes into my cute versus hot.
Oh, without question.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't want to spoil it, but just know, like, amazing performance from Griffin Dunne. And it's, I mean, it's really weird for a Scorsese movie. I don't think he's ever done anything before or after.
It sounds like Into the Night by John Landis. Like, it kind of has that same vibe to it.
I mean, that's, this movie feels more like a John Landis kind of weird comedy mishap movie. But yeah, I loved it. Like, I bought it for $5, thought I've never heard of this, never seen it. It's Scorsese. I've been watching a lot of his movies, like, in preparation for Joker, and since then, and I'm like, what if I, like, let me fill in the gap.
He's got some weird ones in there.
And I bought this, and I'm like, I loved it. Like, yeah. More movies like this, where you just, like, it keeps you guessing, and there's all these connections. It's so smart the way he writes the characters, and they all, like, his mishaps, like, out of the frying pan into the fire.
Right.
And they all connect. And, yeah, it's just, it's a lot of fun. And
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so definitely check it out. And, I mean, it's one that you can buy for cheap, because I don't think it's...
It's definitely considered one of his lesser works, but I think it's more because you don't think of him as doing comedy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's probably true.
I mean, you got King
of
Comedy.
He's got comedy moment, a comedic moment.
Sure,
he
certainly, there are certainly funny moments within his films, right. But you don't think of them.
Go get
as
your,
comedies.
Yeah. Go get your shoebox.
Like, I would never even
shine
call...
Shinebox.
I would never call The King of Comedy comedy. I think it's very funny at times, but, like, it's not a comedy.
Right.
When you think of The Hangover as a comedy.
Totally, you know who that is that gets shot in the foot, right?
It's Christopher
from The Sopranos.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't just get shot
well,
in the foot.
Well, okay.
And what? What are we
talking? And Goodfellas.
And Goodfellas. The Christopher is like a, he's like a barback.
Yeah.
In, like, when, in, like, the gangster
bar. The famous
bar.
Scene where he shoots him in the foot, the guy that's, like, hanging out, like, helping with running the poker game.
Yeah.
And, like, bringing him drinks and stuff, and he shoots him in the foot because he's like, he mouths off to him.
Does he? Yeah, you're right.
And then he shoots him later.
Yeah, he comes back and he says something to him.
He shoots him in the foot from mouthing him off, and they're like, no, he respects you for standing up to him. You should do it again. And he does it again. He shoots him in the chest.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, ah, well.
But that was,
that was Christopher. That's
Michael
right.
Imperioli.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I saw him on a plane coming back from Jamaica.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Weird.
But, I mean, as far as the I think that people don't remember. First of all, like, art house movies.
I don't
movies,
think they remember.
But art house movies for a long time have lived in this, like, like, I think they're more seen now than they ever have been. You've got theaters like AMC doing AMC Selects. You have a lot more opportunities to see smaller movies. But art house movies, generally, these ones that they refer to as quote-unquote cinema, like, they never made big blockbuster Avengers dollars in the first place. So, I mean, I think movies like Avengers are keeping theaters alive, keeping them selling popcorn. And it's just like the times change and they don't like it. But it just sounds so snobby and pretentious. Movies are cinema. Like, I'm with Taika Waititi. I'm with all these people like, well, they play in a theater. They play at a cinema. Come on. It's, you can call it whatever you want. It's cinema.
I think there
for,
are films and movies. That's my, that's,
I get what
and,
you're saying.
And that's
but,
a little snobby, and I don't necessarily disagree. But,
yeah.
But it's, you know, it's like, do you want to go to the symphony or do you want to see Van Halen?
No, I'm
but,
seeing Van Halen.
But to pretend like they both don't take talent.
Totally.
Yeah. Is
totally agree.
So
totally
it's like
agree.
So at the base of it, and I think it's, so people know what you're talking about, I get saying movies and film. And I do it subconsciously, too. Like, you get it. That's a movie. That's a film. I call them different things sometimes to identify them when you're talking about them. But I also think at the base of it, it's like, movies are cinema. They play at a cinema. They're filmed on a camera. There's acting. There's a script. I mean,
I agree.
Stop being snobby. Like, I'm really done with this conversation.
I'm waiting for Eastwood or Oliver Stone, or I guess Spielberg's already had his say with the whole Netflix thing.
Yeah.
So it's just like,
but all
the
these guys
changing,
are stuck.
Man.
They're
like,
stuck in their ways, and it does not take away from their talent. They're amazing filmmakers. But come on, it's like to say like, oh, this isn't cinema and this is ruining these. Like,
no,
it's you dumb. Can enjoy lots of different movies. I think all of us have a very diverse taste, and we can enjoy an art house movie and a really smart new movie that's full of, you know, thinking and an Aaron Sorkin script and all this. And then we can also enjoy our
Zombieland
deep fried tacos and fun movies. And to me, that doesn't make the fun movies any less of a movie. Like,
no,
it's,
I agree.
It's all different. And it's just,
you would never have this debate about songs. You would never be like,
pop music.
But you would never just say it's not a song.
It's not
right?
Sure. Okay.
sure.
Right. You wouldn't be like,
it's film versus movie.
I'm with
But yeah. But you would
to
never
say it's
you
not.
Would never say that, like, oh, it's so catchy. It's just trash.
That's not
it's
song.
Not even. It's no. It ceases to be a song.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It's. I don't get how more. And I guess maybe it's because some of the film community are a little more elitist. But I'm just saying, how are more people not just like, you sound so snobby? To me, it sounds like total snobbery.
I agree.
Like, come on, guys. Like, I get it. They're not making movies you want to see. But look at the box office and look at the people that watch these movies. You know, the market follows supply and demand.
Sure.
And people enjoy these movies, and you're getting way more people to the theater. Remember how movie theaters were having the worst box office years ever?
I think some of what the reaction is to is that, but you're only getting people to the theaters for a very certain kind of movie.
Not with Joker. Tricked them all.
You had to trick them.
But you can do it though. You can make a smart. My point is
But that's
smart,
one.
Well, it takes one to make people think and say, oh, I like this different, and oh, this worked. Well, now maybe we can be more prestige with our.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying it takes someone to start the movement, and things will change.
Are you saying Todd Phillips is a visionary?
I saw Joker twice, and I'm telling you what, I loved it. The second time, it's like once my expectations were to the side and I knew it was going to happen and I wasn't sitting there anticipating every move,
sure,
and I knew it and I watched it and I could really focus on everything they were doing, I'm like, movie is amazing.
I still have some issues with it, but I see what you're saying.
I think a second viewing for that movie is really important.
Okay.
I think it plays really
well. I have a theory about that entire movie.
Oh, I have tons of theories. I think it will be interesting. Maybe Patreon, or maybe at some point we do a specialty episode, because as I saw it the second time, I interpreted things a lot differently. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think you need that second. I don't think people think it's that type of movie, but it really is.
Sure.
You know, and we'll leave it at that. But, you know, I'm not surprised that people like Francis Ford Coppola are jumping in and saying that.
Francis Ford, the director of Bram Stoker's Dracula. It's like, yeah, I mean, you saw that movie, right? Like, that was a hodgepodge of weirdness, and I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's like, okay, Scorsese, for the most part, like, he makes some pretty great films and all that, but I'm like, Francis Ford Coppola, I don't know.
It's a little different.
His filmography is not that he hasn't made great ones, but like, you tell me, everything you've made is...
And when you allow...
Nobody bats a thousand.
No, of
like,
course
that's
not.
That's unfair.
No. But when you allow Keanu Reeves to do that accent, and you don't be like, we're not doing that. That's not a thing we're doing in this movie at all.
Well, you know, but you never know until you put that stuff in front of an audience.
I guess
the suit said the same. It tried to stop the Johnny Depp's accent in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
They saw that performance and they were like, "What are you doing?
Yeah,
like, this is ridiculous." And it's like, and it works great, but then that same actor turns around and gives you a same wackadoodle performance in Lone Ranger.
You're like,
and
no,
the
thank
suits,
you.
Then the suits should have shut him down.
Right.
That's fair.
But to all these directors' points, I don't think Scorsese would say Pirates of the Caribbean is cinema. I mean, it's just two different conversations. Like,
I think he would. I think he would.
What?
I think he would because he grew up with pirate movies, and he's going to remember Captain Blood and you know what I mean, and all the Errol Flynn movies.
But then
and,
his definition is just crazy, and, then, but, because you're making movies that are
I'm
just...
I'm not defending him. Yeah. I'm just saying I think he would say that it's cinema, but I also, like, that's the point I was trying to make about superhero movies,
sure,
is that this is... Superhero movies are what... Westerns and pirate movies.
You're
were
totally right.
When Martin Scorsese was a kid, and that they were considered trash, but now people look back on them and realize that they're not. I mean, some are.
Some are garbage, but
there are
still fun.
Some that are that are great movies.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, and I think the superhero genre is the same thing.
And I think it'll go the way of the Western at some point.
Yeah, there are absolute trash movies.
Sure,
trash superhero movies, but there are great works of art in there too.
No, I agree.
Disguised as superhero movies.
Totally.
Yeah. It's
not just Joker.
No. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as long as these
Fantastic Four
keep getting clicks, we're going to keep getting these headlines, and every interviewer is going to ask every prestige director this question.
Like every three days, somebody recycles this Martin Scorsese story.
It is.
Yeah.
Coppola didn't help things to yesterday.
but it's just now every single director is going to be asked this, and anyone that has to do with Marvel now is going to be asked to defend it. Marvel, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, in an interview, I'd just like to ask. Taika Waititi had a great answer.
James Gunn had the same answer as well.
Yeah. But Taika Waititi for Jojo Rabbit, you know, he's just
I'm looking forward to that.
He's just like, well, they're not going to call it the Marvel Attic universe. It's cinemas in the title. Like, he's so funny. I mean, you know, he's so quick. Funny. He just thought about it for a second. He was like, well, it's right there in the title. It's cinema. It's, you know, but it's not going away, but you know, our stance. And I think it's just, it's old man yells at cloud.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, and it doesn't demean or diminish their previous work. They're great directors, but I think you see this with anyone that gets older and set in their ways. And it's just, we're just applying
until,
it now
until
to
until DC's like, hey, movies. Can you, here's $3 million. It's like, oh, these are great movies.
Three?
Yeah.
Do you want him to get out of bed? I don't think Scorsese. So if he's going to waste even a minute of his time, you know,
I
don't
think it would
take
to get him to. What do you think it would take?
A really interesting project.
Yeah,
because I don't think it's money at this point. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, he's not getting any younger. It's like
that's
he's got to choose what movies he wants to do. And I think getting The Irishman in is a great accomplishment
for sure.
You know, and
like I think you could definitely pay off Francis Ford Coppola to make one of those
for sure. Yeah, can I? As long as he doesn't include his nephew.
Huh? Nick?
Yeah, Nick.
Well, but you better believe if he
Nick
makes
Coppola.
You better believe if he makes one, Nick
he
is going
to. He made
two. Well, yeah, Ghost Rider, yeah. But I'm just saying, if Francis Ford Coppola is directing, you better believe Nick Cage is going to be there. Yeah.
So he's probably going to get to play Superman. But in comic book related news and movies, we've got two new cast members for Matt Reeves' Batman.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Zoe Kravitz as Selina Kyle, which
great.
I think is brilliant.
Yeah.
I think she's got a great look for Selina Kyle.
It's interesting. I feel like there are certain characters that you can. There's no like distinct race that they need to be, and
no.
I feel like Selina Kyle
I've
is
never,
one of those.
I've
They've
never,
actually also drawn her from time to
with
time,
like a Latino or like haven't
yeah,
they
definitely
had
like
a...
like a div- not white,
right?
Not
right.
white, yeah. In the Dave Mazzucchelli Frank Miller year one, she definitely has a different look
yeah.
than Michelle Pfeiffer.
But I've never thought of Catwoman as being like that character has to be white.
No.
I mean, I guess I don't think that way for most characters, unless it has to do with the story,
right?
Know?
Right? Right?
But I. It's just like I've never thought of that. And two, I guess fans credits, and I know that you jumped out ahead of it, like, oh boy,
yeah.
here comes the but I haven't really heard any
that's the one I'm actually surprised that I mean with Jeffrey Wright and Zoe Kravitz.
Well, I think the racists are okay with the race sorry, I think the racists are okay with the casting because she's a thief.
Oh, maybe. I mean, yeah. God forbid the cop is, you know.
When casting came down, I was like, I'm sorry, can someone let me know? Am I supposed to be outraged that that they cast a black actress to play a thief or that they cast a black actress in a white role? I don't know which I'm supposed to be upset about anymore.
I don't know
anymore.
Where I'm supposed to fall on this
too,
whole thing.
I'm too bored to care.
Yeah.
Yeah. But luckily, again, I haven't really heard the outrage. I've heard a lot of support from other
for
actors.
For both
of
them, for
course,
Jeffrey Wright and her.
Well, Jeffrey Wright's so amazing. I think that, I guess there's people that don't watch a lot of great work out there, but for people that know Jeffrey Wright, that when I saw that, I'm like, no brainer.
Yep,
like he is going to do an amazing job with that role.
Just let him, don't put a hairpiece on him.
But I mean, I think the most exciting news, Paul Dano
as the
Riddler.
Riddler.
That is inspired casting. That is great.
Just glad we're not getting another Joker.
Yeah,
like, let it go.
Oh, yeah.
Let it go.
Jonah Hill, Oscar-nominated actor. I really like Jonah Hill's performances he's been turning in. And
absolutely.
Like the Moneyball type,
yeah.
The more serious performance.
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously very funny, but he's very talented. I mean, even the, you know, he won't get far on foot with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
Like, he does a good job as the leader of the...
Even War Dogs.
Yeah, like, he's a good actor, right? But the more I'm removed from him in the running and I see Paul Dano, I'm like... I like that a lot better.
I like that
a lot. I think Jonah Hill playing a character like the Riddler, someone that's supposed to be more zany and being more goofy, I think it would take you out of it because you're just going to go
looking
back
at Jonah Hill.
You're just going to go back to that Jonah Hill goofy comedy and
right.
less of his Oscar-nominated acting. And I it's not his fault, but I just think you know him so much from his zaniness
sure.
that it's going to end up making that very prestigious movie. I mean, look
I
at
don't
the,
know though, because his zany, he's not zany. Like, he's very funny,
yeah.
but he's not like
he's not Jim Carrey.
He's not super high energy wacky,
right?
But,
where the
yeah.
the Riddler kind of is. So like that kind of manic energy, like maybe it would have been different. I have no complaints about Paul Dano, just
yeah.
to be clear.
Sure,
but and also, are we sure that that's the role he was even up for?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so that Jonah Hill was.
That it was the Riddler they wanted him to play.
I mean, I feel like I have never seen a confirmation that's who he was targeted for.
Right,
we know
but
it was
I feel,
a villain.
I feel like as soon as they say that Jonah Hill's out
and
Paul
then Paul
Dano's
Dano got
in,
it. Yeah,
right.
I feel like that's. I mean, could be the same role.
I also don't know where they're at in the development process. Did they maybe go? You know,
that could be.
Was it like, oh well, then we'll go with a different villain. And a different actor.
Yeah, well, yeah, I have no clue. I know that Robert Pattinson has said that the suit is... He's seen either the suit or he's seen it on paper. And he's like, it is amazing. So like they're far enough,
right,
that I feel like they must have a script.
Gotcha.
So they know. And my only fear is they're going to start throwing too much at it. And it's like, back the train up. Like, you don't need, like, if you're saying the Catwoman is the love interest, fine with it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm fine with that. And then Riddler's the villain. My fear is I don't want to see Dick Grayson. I don't want to see Barbara Gordon. I don't want to see, you know, Harvey Bullock is fine. But I feel like when they start, because I think the rumor at one point is they were trying to adapt either Hush or The Long Halloween. And the point of both of those books is, like, with Hush, it was Jeff Loeb just being like, let's just throw everybody in it. So you had Superman and Poison Ivy and Talia.
I don't think Matt Reeves is adapting anything.
Which honestly is good. Like, I mean, we've said that, but then you look at the Joker, it's like, well, there's that thing, there's that thing, there's that thing.
I don't think they adapt to anything either, though.
Well, I mean, I feel like that whole scene with Robert De Niro is right out of The Dark Knight. Like, that's a very specific scene in The Dark Knight.
Which scene is that?
Where the Joker goes on the show. In The Dark Knight Returns, the Joker is rehabbed, and they send him on to, like, a David Letterman-type show, and he's not rehabbed. He's been playing the entire time, and he kills the entire audience. That scene in The Joker is almost the exact same scene. But now, it's set up a little bit differently, but...
But paying homage or taking elements and adapting something are two completely different.
I agree.
I mean, Joker is such a far stretch. There's no Batman story that's ever followed the beats of Joker.
No, I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, Joker is such its own thing. I get that you can have elements, and it is a DC Joker movie, but, you know, and there's Bruce Wayne in there, so of course you can, I mean, The Alley and Pearls, and sure, they took things, but they
Zorro
didn't adapt
the Gay
it. But they didn't adapt it, you know what I mean?
No, I get
so,
it. So I'm just, my fear is that they're going to be like, we're going to throw 15 villains. And if you're going to say that, like, there's a scene where Batman is punching Kite Man in the face in the very beginning, and he's like, that's your introduction to Batman, fine. But I don't want to see the Penguin and the Riddler team up.
Right.
You know?
I have a feeling they're going to be minor roles. I think they're casting to establish the universe, you know? But yeah. I bet you it's not going to be him fighting three villains with a plan together.
Yeah, oh, God. Yeah. That's actually one of the things that I loved about The Dark Knight is you get that team of Batman and Harvey, mm-hmm. and it's working. And then, like, Harvey's the tragic character where now he's got to fight the Joker. It's too, like, they don't have a team together. But, like, Batman's got to fight two villains on two different fronts, mm-hmm. which worked more than, like, Poison Ivy somehow creating Bane. I don't know.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
But I guess Timothée Chalamet, is that his name?
For what?
Is Dick Grayson. Like, that's the big rumor right now.
That's just people talking. That's not a real
rumor. Oh, it is? Okay,
yeah,
good.
It's not.
Good, good, good. Yeah. I don't want to see. If you want to show me a flyer for the Flying Graysons coming to Gotham, yeah. Fine.
Now, somebody did a fan art. It's not a rumor at all.
Okay.
It's fan casting.
Good. That's not what I don't. I mean, he would be fine. He'd be great.
People were thinking that he would be too young against, like, Robert Pattinson's pretty young. And so they didn't want, like, a Timothée Chalamet aged Dick Grayson.
They want, like, a kid.
Yeah. Because they want, I mean, at that age, if Robert Pattinson's that age, you'd want to adopt a younger Dick Grayson. You wouldn't want a five year younger.
He never adopts him.
Okay, you know what I'm saying.
He's his ward.
Okay, yes.
They're lovers.
Thank you.
But yeah, I just don't want to see get too globbed down with villains and plots.
You want bat nipples, I get it.
Yeah. The only suit that didn't have bat nipples was Alicia Silverstone, so F that guy.
Oh, it wasn't that cold.
He was very forward thinking. He was getting out in front of the whole Me Too thing.
I would show her butt, but I won't show her nipples on her seat.
When I take a forward thinking, Joel Schumacher is the guy.
Absolutely.
That's the guy. But yeah, so that's really fun. Like, that movie is shaping up to be something that could be something really interesting.
Oh, and they just said that Michael Giacchino is doing the score.
They're putting together something.
The team is there. I mean, I think at this point, with Matt Reeves attached to it and the level of care that they seem to be putting into this thing,
yeah.
I think it's going to be big. Like, I feel like this is going to be kind of like the second coming of the Nolan-verse, where it's like, yeah, this is Batman, but I think it's going to have that prestige feel to it.
Yeah. You know,
I think it's going to be on another level.
Could be.
So
it could be.
I'm excited to see what they end up doing with it.
Yeah, game on.
And I mean, the last news that I was trying to allude to earlier was we have more Jared Leto news, where it's just
what,
like, this guy.
Idiot.
It's tough because it's like, I mean, since I saw Jared Leto in Requiem for a Dream, I'm like, this guy's talented. He's a good actor. He's now an Oscar-winning actor. The guy's good. But the more of this stuff you hear about, the way he acts and his cult and, you know, just his musical persona where he dresses up like Jesus. And it's like, this guy, I don't know if he could do anything else more to turn people off. But, like, he comes up with stuff all the time.
Oh, and, don't he? Here, hold my beer.
Now, this is hearsay. It's not like he renounces, right. But through his manager, who he's no longer working with, you know, through people talking, it came out that essentially he tried to stop Todd Phillips' Joker movie.
How?
He was already upset that they were making a standalone without him, and then he called his manager, who's Todd, or he called his old agent, who was Todd Phillips' agent. And word is that he tried to get word to the DC bigwigs or the Warner bigwigs and put a halt to that movie. So
I love that Jared Leto thinks he has that kind of power to stop a movie.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you could have a more higher...
Yeah, you kind of wonder, like, what kind of juice he thinks he has.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, dude, you were... yes, you've won an Oscar. Congratulations. Yeah. That's impressive.
A lot of other people have too.
You're not that important in this. In the whole you were the minorest of minor cogs on this DCEU wheel. And gotta tell you, you broke.
Yeah,
like you almost broke the whole wheel.
If there's one thing that I mean, you could point to that was just atrociously bad.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a good actor. I'm not saying I
think that's also the difficulty of playing the Joker. Like, it's a very broad role.
It is.
And, I mean, you really have to stick the landing.
Yeah.
Or it
turns into that.
Or it's awful.
Yeah.
And it's a tightrope walk.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't think anyone's ever been awful before.
Yeah, I mean,
I see what you're saying.
Every single Joker... Yeah. Has been perfect for what they were doing. I think Cesar Romero was amazing.
I'm not prepared to say that he was a bad Joker. He was
a bad Joker in a bad movie.
He was in a bad movie.
Yeah.
And it's hard to gauge what that performance would have looked like in a better movie.
But he was methody. I think he created that Joker. I'm not saying the visual concepts. Maybe he didn't design the whole gangster Joker look and all that.
The visual concept comes from Jim Lee.
But I do believe that he, as the method stuff, you heard about how crazy he was on set and stuff. Like,
yeah.
I think he developed that Joker. I think that he made these choices. I think they were his choices for what he thought was really great with this, to go with these visuals and what they decided they would go with. I just don't think that an actor like Jared Leto is like, yeah, I don't know, but I will do that really weird, crappy stuff. Like, you know what I mean? I think that was him, and
it's the choices he made as an actor. Yeah. I don't think that was forced upon him. I'm saying that, like, I don't know that those would come across as negatively in a better movie.
Oh, I mean, I do. Yeah. I just think it's awful. I think that gangster Joker with the tattoos and the damaged and just the way he talks and the look, it's cringe inducingly bad.
I don't mind the look of him. The look is what it is, because that is, I mean, Jim Lee drew him like that at one point, like in All-Star Batman and Robin. That's how he looked. He had a gangster look to him. He had tattoos, so like that look is inspired by the comics, so that is a thing that is out there.
I just don't think it worked. We've talked about this before. It can totally work in a comic book. I don't think it works in real life. Have you seen the fan art removing the tattoos?
Yeah,
and
it looks really good.
He looks great.
Yeah, I know.
It's just that look. It just doesn't work for what it does not work.
Yeah,
with that character.
But yeah, Jared Leto, I'm just like, yeah. You are not that important.
But the point is, I if it is true, and again, this is people talking, but I have a feeling that, not saying this happened, I'm guessing that his ex-manager probably told someone, because who else would know?
Sure.
And now that it got out, he knows that it was him, and I'm guessing that they talked like, this guy tried to get me to stop this movie that's making $800 million. I don't know. It's a weird thing, but it's like, the more I hear about this Jared Leto stuff,
he's done.
It makes you just feel like, yeah, he's making it very difficult, I think, for people to want to work with this Oscar-winning filmmaker.
And, sure.
I mean, I know people can be, actors can be difficult, but it's like the stuff you're hearing about them.
I don't want you on my set.
Yeah.
Well, we should probably turn our eyes to the box office, don't you think?
This is the not quite box office report.
But that means there's some box office.
A little bit.
Yeah. So Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do. I've got it ready for a quick little rundown here. So the movie of the week is not number one this week. That goes to the big Disney movie, Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, that brought in $37.5 million. I think the first one made like $1 billion. It was
a huge hit. It was a huge hit.
Not opening weekend, but I mean, it was a huge movie.
I certainly think they thought they'd be doing better than this.
Yeah, $35 million. Now, again, it's going to do gangbusters overseas, I'm sure.
Sure.
This is just domestically, but I don't have a budget. It's not disclosed. I don't have any overseas money at this time, so we'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, I think it's a little bit of a disappointment for... Yeah.
Did you see it?
I did.
And? Yep, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
I thought the first one was a snooze
fest. I did, too, and this one is even snoozier.
I liked the first one, and I came to it late, and I think maybe because I had seen so many remakes at this point that when I went and finally watched the first Maleficent, I'm like, oh, they were doing their own thing, and it's a twist. It's a different take on the
tale. It's kind of like Wicked.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love Wicked. I thought it was a really good idea. I thought it was interesting to, you know, we don't know about Maleficent. Why is she this evil queen? And I think that's really interesting to understand, and I thought it was a pretty fun movie. I mean, the visuals are a little cheesy and all that, but overall... Yeah. I thought it was fun.
I thought it looks cheesier. Oof. I thought it does that thing that lazy sequels do where they completely negate everything that happened in the first one. Where
they're like, make her a bad guy?
Well, so no, it's not that they make her a bad guy. It's that they like, oh, remember how it ended where, like, you know, she kind of had made progress and people realized that she wasn't evil. She was just different.
The lesson was learned.
And then it's like, oh, but the queen... said that, like, no, that's not true, and everybody believed her, and now it's all back to how it was.
Oh.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? With one line of dialogue,
you're unwriting
the entire movie and pretending like it's still the same world? Like, oh, come on. Yeah. I was just so mad that they would...
Yeah, that first movie ends where it's a happy ending, and Maleficent gets her wings back. That causes the whole thing as the bad guy clipped her wings, and so she gets them back. She's happy, you know, good triumphs over evil, and she's friends with Aurora. And so it's like that movie stood on its own. It didn't need a sequel. You know, they didn't know how it would be. They didn't write it opened up for this sequel.
Yeah,
sure.
And so they now tagged it on and obviously rewriting it.
Yeah.
And
it's, oh, my God. Yeah. So and then like the first one was like kind of a rape allegory,
kind of,
yeah. And then this one is mixed marriage. Yeah,
he drugs her and takes her wings in the first one, so
right?
I guess that's true.
And this one's a mixed marriage, so like Aurora's getting married to, is it Prince Charming in Sleeping Beauty? Like, I don't know, but it's
Philip is
okay.
It's Prince Philip is Sleeping
some
Beauty.
Prince. Yeah. I don't care. But they refer to him as Charming in the movie, and so I
think
know
they
if
all
they
have names, gotcha. but they're I think they're called Prince Charming in both, like,
gotcha.
Referred to.
Yeah. So so now it's like, oh, but Aurora, you're from the woodland or something, and so
this guy's from the
city.
He's from the city. You're from the county.
Sounds like a stretch for a conflict.
Yeah, and it was oh my God. It's and then Angelina Jolie disappears for large swaths of the movie.
Yeah, she had to go film The Eternals.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like...
So they focus on Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yeah.
Which I don't mind.
Michelle Pfeiffer is like... You know, the name is kind of a head fake, right? Michelle Pfeiffer's the Mistress of Evil. She's the bad one.
Uh-huh.
And so... because she doesn't want them to get married. She's the mom of the prince, and so
was she in the first one?
No.
Was she the queen in the
first? I mean, she wasn't the first one. It was just her. It was just Maleficent.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just didn't know if they ever showed.
Because there was no Prince Charming, was there?
Yeah. The guy is in there.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess he has to wake her up, right?
He's the love interest in the first one.
Okay.
So I just didn't know if his mom
I have zero recollection
were,
yeah. if she's in the movie, and I'm too lazy to Google it.
It's for the best.
But yeah, and then it just turns into like, we'll attack the kingdom and it's yeah.
No thanks.
That's too bad.
And then glad we passed on that one.
They're like, and then at the end of the movie because I don't care. at the end of the movie, when they're like having this big giant battle in the kingdom with like the woodland, you find other Maleficent creatures, whatever
fairy
she is.
She's a fairy.
She's a fairy. Okay. They find other, like, you know, tough fairies, and they're fighting, And it's like, I mean, it's like Game of Thrones. It's just, what are we doing? And then they're like just attacking the kingdom, and people, and they're getting killed. Like, people are dying.
Yeah.
And then, like, when it's over and, like, we've all learned our valuable lesson, then
bring
they're
out
like,
your dead.
They're like, and in order to unify,
oh, no.
We will have a wedding. And everybody's like, yay. And I'm like, you're literally standing on corpses right now. Like, that's what just happened in this movie.
They
like,
didn't undo it all.
It's not them. Like a week later. They didn't like wave a wand. And I'm like, you're legit standing on the rotting corpses of your loved
they didn't
ones.
Give them a couple.
Cheering because a prince and a princess are going to get married.
Oh, I have entrails stuck on my shoes.
See, that's bad writing to where they try to push
it. It's a horror movie.
But yeah. that's where they want to. They have an agenda. They want to get their Disney princess prince thing in, and they write a terrible script around it. Yeah. And it's a shame because you know what that means? If this doesn't do well, oh, we better stick to the reboots and the remakes.
Sure. Sure.
But that's what this is anyway, so who cares?
Well, I mean,
this is its own thing.
It's not. It's a Sleeping Beauty reboot. They just came at it from a different. They just came at it sideways.
Yeah. But it's not like
it's an original story.
Yeah, I think it's more original if they were to do a straight up Sleeping Beauty movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's not like we haven't seen these sorts of things.
I agree.
Like, you know,
right,
but
that's different
I don't
than
think
remakes.
But I don't think we're going it will necessarily screw up a sideways adaptation.
Snow White from the perspective of the apple.
Yeah. I just think that, you know, Lion King makes $2 billion. Aladdin makes over $1 billion. These are remakes, like straight remakes,
yeah.
You know, with very little change.
You got Mulan and, then, and a Little Mermaid.
Yeah,
in the
but then in Maleficent, it's like, you know, they do this Elseworlds thing. I'm just saying if it doesn't work, they're going to think twice. And it's like, I'd rather have them trying, and I wish they did a better job, but I'd rather have them do this than to just do straight remakes.
I can see that.
You know?
Yeah, I get that.
So anyway, we'll see what that ends up doing. But $37.5 million, I think, is a little lackluster. Joker, though, sticking around. Week 3, another $30 million almost. 47% drop. It's up to $247 million domestic and $619 worldwide after making almost $400 overseas.
What did The Hangover do? What did that first one do? Is this his highest grossing film?
Oh, Hangover made a ton of money.
I know it did.
Yeah, $467 million worldwide.
That's
so
crazy.
Yeah, Joker, huge. And like I said to Tom, I mean, I think this is really cool what they did. I don't mean in a malicious way, and I'm left to be confused. But they kind of tricked people. Like, as I watched the movie the second time, I'm like, this is an art house movie. This is,
sure,
you got people under the guise of a DC comic book movie, which it also is,
yeah,
but you're not watching a superhero, you know, a quote unquote Marvel movie, as Scorsese's coined it. But I think what this does is it gets people to maybe open up their mind to seeing other films that are like, wow, they did some really neat stuff here. This is like Scorsese. Let me go watch these Scorsese movies that I've never seen.
This is what DC did in the 80s, honestly. Like with their comics, they started to take a more quote unquote adult approach to their heroes. And I feel like as I was watching this, I was like, well, if this works, and it has, I could see them kind of starting to splinter off into more, I'm hesitant to say adult movies.
Well, people are calling it DC Black, like the comics.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean,
Todd Phillips tried to do that. So Todd Phillips wanted to do his own little.
I think that's not a bad idea.
But he pitched that, and they were like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! Let's see what happens with this movie." Right. He pitched to them being.
And now he's like, the cost of that just tripled.
Yeah, right.
But it's like he wanted to be the kind of the Kevin Feige or, you know, the whatever, the, you know,
the
he wanted to oversee.
Stuff.
Yeah, and he pitched them, let's call this the DC Black label, and they said no. Let's see what happens. But so that was a rumor. Like some people have been calling it that, but that's not an official.
Sure,
that was his idea.
I could see them doing that. I think if, you know, there are certain characters that fit the DC Black label more so than,
is that like Constantine?
Constantine, Swamp Thing, yeah. Dream, and Sandman, Preacher, like all those kind of Vertigo characters. And there's also some DC characters. Like I feel like Animal Man could fit, you know, the Grant Morrison stuff could fit into there.
Animal Man got pulled into Vertigo.
It did, but I think like that story is better than the other stuff that they were doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the Grant Morrison, Jeff Lemire Animal Man was better than Doom Patrol and that kind of stuff. I think all kind of work in that world.
Well, we'll see what ends up happening to that whole thing. We'll see how Joker changes the vision or, you know, whatever trajectory DC's on, because at this point
if the Abrams thing is to be believed, I'm sure we'll have the DC normal label.
Yeah, we'll see, because it's like we've got Matt Reeves as a standalone trilogy that's not connected to the DCU.
Sure.
We have Wonder Woman still coming out. Aquaman is successful.
Aquaman 2 Shazam. Is actually getting ready to go. I think they said the script is done for Aquaman 2.
I heard that Jason Momoa pitched an idea for that doesn't mean it's done. He has an idea for it, though.
How do they not have something ready to go already?
I don't know. But the point is, it's like, now it's confusing because Joker's standalone, Matt Reeves is standalone, you have the failed Justice League stuff, they've lost their Batman, and then
Superman.
But then you have these successful ones that are part of that that are still actually coming out, and like Wonder Woman's ready, so it's a mess
the
over
end
there.
Of Shazam literally has the Henry Cavill Superman suit like at the end of the movie.
Yeah, it's weird. Who knows? But going through this, number three, Zombieland, the movie we're getting into next episode, made $25.6 million, so we'll get into that one. Don't really have an overseas total yet. Number four, The Addams Family in week two, $17.7 million, only a 42% drop on that one, so that one's still doing pretty well. They greenlit a sequel after opening weekend, so look forward to that. Number five, Gemini Man.
Yikes.
The word
dodged a bullet on that one.
Swing and a miss.
The word is that is not very good.
Can you, I don't know if I asked you this. Can you remember an act? So obviously you remember Robert Downey Jr.
Who?
Heard of him.
When he was younger, right? Like you saw him when he was younger.
I watched him
grow up.
Yeah, I mean, I remember him in like really bad movies like Johnny B. Goode, where he was playing fiddle to Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah.
And I remember him like in Back to School, remember?
Yeah, oh yeah.
He was in Back to School.
He's the douchey guy that picks on Rodney Dangerfield's kid.
Oh, weird science.
Yeah.
So when we see that de-aged Robert Downey Jr. in Iron Man 3, you're like, okay. That they changed his voice, they changed his face, it works.
What was his big movie? What did, when he looked like that?
Less Than Zero?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. That was, I think, the one where people were like, this dude can legit act.
Yeah, that's life imitating art and vice versa.
Yeah.
Michael Douglas. Like, when you see Michael Douglas in Ant-Man, I feel like, I don't know what happened here, but like, when I see that version of Will Smith, it's like, we know what he looked like as a kid, right?
Yeah, like, I don't, like...
We know what he sounded like.
All I know is the trailers, but that looked jarringly bad.
Yeah,
and
I agree. Well, the real quick of it is maybe I mentioned it on the show. I can't remember if I did. It might have just been a post, but Gemini Man was filmed by Ang Lee, a great filmmaker.
Totally, right.
I mean, we've known him.
Except for Hulk.
And the States from, you know, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was the big one that when that came over here and it was like, wow, this guy, and he's made a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
But he filmed it. He did like a James Cameron thing that seems like only James Cameron can pull this stuff off. He filmed it in 4K, 120 frames per second, 3D.
That's how he filmed the entire movie?
Yeah.
But why?
It is made to be seen in 4K, 120 frames a second, that high frame rate crap, and 3D. Do you know how many theaters in the United States can support that type of viewing? How many projectors?
It's like none.
How many?
Zero.
Is anything in 4K?
Well, most are. Not 4K, 3D. There are 4K projectors, sure.
Okay,
so zero theaters in the U.S. Hold on. So you can watch it in 60 frames a second. Normal is 24. You can watch it in 60 frames a second, 1080p 3D, and guess how many theaters support that in the United States?
Two.
10?
14.
Yeah.
So it's okay. So basically, everyone's seeing it in 24 frames a second. Maybe you're seeing it in regular 3D.
Well, first off, do we learn nothing from The Hobbit?
Right. Bingo. No one liked that.
Second, I don't understand how a clearer picture would make this better.
It's very CG. So like the thing with the high frame rate is the special effects they like blend in better. That's on that high frame rate stuff. And so if you're not seeing it that way,
it just seems like a better picture would make it look worse.
I get what you're saying because it'd be clearer. But no, it's the way the movement and everything. Like it's like video games are done at very high frame rate.
Sure.
If you have a good enough computer system, they're optimized. Blah blah blah. But they look better at high frame rate. So the way that he filmed it and with the CG effects, they all were intended to be viewed like this, and no one's seeing it that way. So apparently,
so
it's not only just not that great of a script, like it's pretty bad and was kicked around for 20 years or whatever, but like apparently it just looks awful.
I think the idea is cool. Like, I like the idea that he was the perfect killing machine and he said, F this, I'm out. So they're just like, cool, we'll just clone you. Like I like that idea. Like is super is sci-fi enough? I was like, I can get that's fine.
Oh, I liked it in Looper,
but it, well, it was the same guy. It was just time travel. But you're right.
But, I mean, it's a similar.
It
premise.
Is a very
so you
similar
gotta
premise.
Fight the younger version of yourself.
Right. And so, like, I like that idea, but man, what a trip.
I mean, I'll check.
At
it
least
out.
With Looper, they put him in makeup.
But it's Ang Lee is again. He's one of these visionaries like Cameron. But Cameron's movies, they always make a ton of money. But he did that Billy Flynn's Long Halftime Walk. That was high frame rate, 3D. You know, for a movie that isn't a special effects driven. But he meant it to be viewed like that. And it's like I appreciate what he's doing as a filmmaker. But the thing is, if you're making a big like what could be a big tentpole action summer blockbuster with Will Smith, it's like. Why did him and the studio and the distributors not talk and be like, can anyone view this how you intend? I just feel like it's a weird thing to film a movie to be viewed away.
Who put that out?
Bruckheimer?
Weird. And all right.
Paramount is the distributor.
Okay.
But yeah, so anyway.
I just figured Paramount would be like, what are we doing? What? Even we don't have a theater like this. What are you We can't even watch the movie right.
So $36 million domestic on that one, $45 overseas, so it's not even doing that crazy
over
there.
Do you think he's no longer an A-list actor?
Smith?
Yeah.
He's got a lot. I mean.
I feel like he's had more misses than hits in the last.
Be interesting what Bad Boys 3 does. This 3? 4? I've never seen one.
It's 3.
Are you serious?
I've never seen one.
Oh, man. 1 and 2 are great. Yeah. Like, they are great action
flicks.
That trailer is awful. I saw it with Zombieland, and it looks terrible.
And honestly, some of it's the editing. That's one of the worst edited trailers I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. Where it's just where it keeps doing that, boom, boom, Bad Boys, and then like goes to another 3 seconds, and then does that sound again,
right,
and again, and again.
It
like,
did not
oh
look
my
good.
God, I hated it
I hope
so
it's fun,
much.
Because those first two are good.
Those
first two are
great.
But rounding out the top 10 here, you have Abominable at number 6, Downton Abbey, number 7, Judy at number 8. Hustler's still sticking around at number 9, and It Chapter 2, so it is sticking around right up to Halloween, and I don't know if they have a release yet scheduled before Halloween, but we were guessing they would, so I think that's perfect timing if they, you know, still make their couple million every weekend and then drop it on home video in a couple weeks. It's a pretty smart strategy. It's paying off, and it's making a ton of money, so... That's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, B-U-T-T-S-21.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join our group, the League of Show Sharers. Don't forget when you're on your podcast delivery device you can subscribe. You should subscribe so you never miss an episode. And also check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/real spoilers. So that's it for this one. Coming up with the next one, we will tackle Zombieland 2. Until then, you've been warned.
Welcome to Zombieland. We're a family. Dysfunctional, sure, but what family isn't?
Is this your dad?
My sister is gone. She picked up the boy.
A musician! We ride at dawn. There are zombies approaching.
Can I see? Oh, man, it's so tiny.
Big, tiny!
She is adorable.
Zombieland Double Tap, rated R.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.